Hello, my friend. Thank you so much for joining me today. Today, we're talking about money and making more of it. And so many people shy away from talking about wanting to make more money. But the reality is that if you want to make a bigger impact in the world, which I know you're trying to do in your business, you likely need to make more money. Because when you make more money in your business is sustainable, and you can actually donate to charities. Maybe you start your own charity. You're offering scholarships. You're giving more of your time. There's so many things you can do when you're not worried about paying the bills and really creating a sustainable business. But the problem is that so many of us have a money story that tells us that making money is bad. So please remember, my dear friend, money is neutral. It's not good, it's not bad. It's what you do with it that changes the energy. Money in the hands of good people, which you are, does great things. And so I really wanted to highlight this and talk about it on the podcast even more. I've talked about money a few times, but this one is all about making money. And my guest today really captured me when I saw this on her website. It said, "Be unashamed about your desire to make more money." The boldness of that statement got me immediately. I reached out and was like, I have to have you on the podcast to talk about this one line of text on your website. I tell her, and you'll hear it in the episode, I was like, I hope you make it even bigger on your website because it's so important. And so I really want you to just take this in, even if the topic of money feels uncomfortable. I really want you to listen to this one because I know it's going to have a huge impact on your life and especially in your business, of course. So let me tell you a little bit about my guest today. Laura Sinclair believes that you and your business deserve to be seen, and she has made it her mission to support female entrepreneurs in their quest to build a life by design. With over a decade of experience building digital marketing strategies for some of the world's largest brands, Laura now teaches ambitious women how to adapt the strategies for Fortune 500s for their own businesses, empowering them to step into their inner CEO all along the way. She's also a mother of two and an ambitious CEO herself. She owns the boutique social media marketing agency, the LJ Social Agency, and she is the host of This Mother Means Business podcast. I know you are going to enjoy everything that Laura says today, so let's dig in. I won't make you wait any longer to hear from her. This is the Unapologetic Entrepreneur Podcast, a podcast for passionate entrepreneurs just like yourself who are looking to create a profitable and productive business that you are proud of. On this show, we explore entrepreneurship success stories, but not just the highlights. We get into the nitty-gritty details so that you know more about the path traveled to achieve that success. See, I'm on a mission to help you never feel like a failure again when it comes to achieving your goals. And so much of that is setting realistic expectations of the effort needed, goals that align with the season of your life, and ensuring that you have the accountability in place that you need. So on this podcast, you can expect real conversations, practical tips, and lots of encouragement along the way so that you have everything you need to follow through and actually achieve your definition of success. So if you're ready to go from unsure to unapologetic, be sure to hit that subscribe button so you never miss an episode. Laura, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you so much for having me on the show. I'm so excited to chat.
Me too. Before we get into all the good stuff, I would love to hear how you ended up stumbling into entrepreneurship, because most people end up on this podcast because there's a twisty, you know, turny road that led you here. So I'd love to hear that.
Oh, I too have a very twisty, turny road. It's one of those like, buckle up how much time you have. But I started my career in public relations and corporate communications and then in digital marketing. So back in the day when, this is like 2008, when brands were letting their interns run their social, their Twitter accounts, I was the intern.
Right.
And so that's sort of where I started my career back in digital marketing. In 2015, actually met a girl who was building a, 2014, I guess, met a girl who was building a online nutrition coaching business. And she needed help with her marketing. And that's what I did from a corporate perspective at the time. I was working for a luxury automotive company at the time doing all their digital media and social media, and she needed help like growing her nutrition coaching brand online. It was really big in the CrossFit space. And so I ended up quitting my corporate, cushy corporate luxury automotive digital job to help this woman build her nutrition coaching company. And then through, you know, a series of fortunate or unfortunate events, depending on how you look at it, my relationship with that individual fell apart. And then I ended up running buying my local CrossFit gym and running a local CrossFit gym. So we had actually built that business up into like a multi seven figure. It was one of the first really online, this is 2014, right? Like this is before everybody had an online business. It was one of the first online nutrition coaching businesses. There was like one other competitor in the space. So we built it to a multi seven figure business. It just wasn't aligned for me. The relationship fell apart. I ended up buying my local CrossFit gym, ran that for 5 years. And that was sort of how I found myself as an entrepreneur. But I don't know if I really ever thought of myself as one at that point. It was like, I need to do a thing. I need to figure out what I'm going to do with my life. Somebody had brought me the opportunity to buy a gym. So I bought a gym and then ran that for 5 years until March of 2020 when the world shut down for 2 weeks out of an abundance of caution. And I was 8 weeks pregnant with my now 3-year-old son, which gyms back in the pandemic did not do particularly well, especially here in Ontario, Canada. And so we decided to close the gym permanently at the end of December 2020, where I was like, this feels like a good time to merge my two lives. So I merged my corporate background in marketing and public relations and visibility and social media with my life as a small business owner and understanding what it is to do that work in the gym space. And so that's how that's a very abbreviated version of how I found myself here, but here we are.
Right. And I'm sure there's so much more. Like you said, the abbreviated version is what we got. But thank you for sharing that, because I think I always like to ask this question because so many people listening think that whatever they see down the road for someone is like the only thing they did. Yeah. And I think it's really important for people to hear the twisty-turny road, because we all have it, but we don't think other people experienced it. So the fact that it was like, it's really interesting to me that you just quit a job instead of doing the side hustle of running that person's social media, the nutrition business. Like you just were like, I'm going to go all in. And went from the cushy corporate job to that. That was really interesting. So was that scary?
It was. And to be frank, I had done it as a side hustle for about 6 months. And it was kind of, the writing was on the wall, I think, for me at my corporate job. I loved working where I worked. However, I knew that I never was really fully comfortable in the corporate space. I was always like a what's next? Okay, what am I going to do after this sort of person? I never really felt settled. I tended to jump between jobs a fair amount. Never really stayed in a corporate job for more than like 3 years. I would get bored and move on. And so I had done the, was working in the nutrition business for about 6 months before I quit. And it was scary, but at the time I didn't have kids. And so I was, you know, 26 years old. I didn't have a ton of risk. I had a fiance at the time who had my husband, who's a firefighter. And so I had support. It wasn't, you know, we didn't have a ton of expenses. I had a dog. And so I knew that inherently that I could always go back and get a marketing job if I needed to. And so it didn't, when I say it to people, they're like, oh man, that must've been really scary. It wasn't, because I was in a place in my life where it was easy for me to take a risk. But certainly if I were to put myself back there, like in this season of my life as a mom of two, that would feel terrifying. But back then I had the freedom to just leap and try and kind of like see how it was going to work out.
Right. And I think sometimes, I mean, we all need to be cautious. I am possibly one of the most cautious people when it comes to like financial security. Like I don't take a lot of risk, big risk. But as an entrepreneur, like it's kind of comical that I say that, because starting a business is a huge financial risk. And so me saying that is actually funny, because I definitely did it. But at the same time, kind of like you, I had support from my husband, who had a secure job when I first started my business. And I had just kind of the level of, well, I know I'll go get another job if this doesn't work out. Like I just figured I'd just do that. And so I think there's a level of, it's always going to be a little scary, but at the same time, I come back to the phrase of trust your resources. Like you've made it to today, no matter what you've navigated in life and you've figured it out. And so I feel like those of us who are in this entrepreneurial space, like trust the resource that you'll figure it out. It doesn't mean it's going to be easy, but I think you'll figure it out one way or the other. Do you agree?
Yes. And I think that some of that is an inherent trait for me as a human, is that I've always just, like I always, when I ran a gym, I used to say to the girl that worked at my front desk used to say, I'll figure it out. I'll make it work, was kind of like my motto of how I just existed through life. And some of that is, you know, my upbringing and I think inherently who I am. I think scrappiness is like a really important skill to have as an entrepreneur. And I grew up in athletics and in sport, and I've had to work for a lot of things, work hard in those capacities. And I think for me, I always just had this inherent belief that like, if I work hard, I'll figure it out. Right. Doesn't mean that I'm going to land exactly where I thought I was going to land, but whatever comes my way, I will navigate and I'll figure it out.
I love that approach. You know, I would say the same thing, but I don't necessarily feel like it was just supernatural for me. Maybe there's an element that's always been there and I just didn't know it. But I, like growing up, experiencing going to college, and then I kind of just followed the template of this is what you do next. And yeah. And I let that lead me for longer than, because I didn't know any different. The interesting part is that as soon as I put on that entrepreneurship hat, it's like everything switched to like, oh, I can figure it out. And so I was talking to someone recently, and someone was asking me about a specific system, like a piece of technology. And I said, I'll figure it out. Like I've never used that before, but I have every confidence that I can figure it out. And my husband overheard it, and he said, Amanda, that's you being an entrepreneur. Like not everyone thinks that way. So you have to remind people that it's like, yes. It's not just something you say. It's like literally something you believe.
Yes. I think that, and you know, as a mentor, I work with a lot of people that feel really paralyzed, right? Like they don't have that skill. I do think that it's something that you have to, there has to be reps, right? It's like a muscle that you grow, is that sense of like, I'll figure it out. And you need to prove to yourself that you can figure out things, right? And it doesn't always have to be the massive thing, but it's that small piece of, okay, like, oh, I figured that out. So maybe I can figure this thing out too. And I think as you prove to yourself over and over that you can figure out the small things, and the bigger things start to become a little bit more achievable or within reach.
Oh gosh. Yeah, you're totally right about that. And as you were saying that, I was like, you know what? I also need to tag on. Like, yes, something switched in me and that I figured things out, but I put in the reps, mm-hmm. like you're saying. It's not like on day one of entrepreneurship, I was like, I can figure everything out. I definitely did not think that back in 2017 when I started. Mm-hmm. However, 2024 version of Amanda is like super confident that it's like, I don't know this answer, but I know I don't know. And so therefore, I'm going to figure out how to know. Yeah. And I believe in myself at that point. But at 2017 version of Amanda, it was like, can I? I don't know. But little by little, you're right. It's like you prove to yourself, actually, I can figure these things out. And so you gain that confidence through the action.
Yeah. I think some people like feel stuck, right? Like it is repetition. And I think for people that feel really stuck, and if you're listening to this and you're feeling stuck in anything, it's just has to be small steps, right? And like collecting that evidence, collecting that proof that you can figure it out is just small steps over time. I think sometimes we think, you know, there's that meme of like a person climbing the stairs, and it's like you're trying to achieve something and mm-hmm. you're trying to skip all of the steps. You just want to get to the end. But like you do, it's one step at a time. And eventually, yes, you will build the confidence to know that whatever it is, either you'll figure it out or you'll find someone who can help you figure it out, or you'll get it wrong until you get it right, right? There's only a couple ways through.
Yeah, I love that. You'll get it wrong until you get it right. And I think that's what everyone, like I hope everyone hears that loud and clear today, because most of the time we don't get it right on the first try. And we're going to miss that step and we're going to fall down and scrape our knee, and we just have to get up and try again. It doesn't mean it doesn't suck. It doesn't mean it's hard or that it's not hard. and there's times where, like, I'm very open about saying, like, there are times I have just been bawling, crying. This is not working. This is so hard. And really feeling like I couldn't figure it out. However, I just kept going. And I say it in that way where it's like, I just kept going because that's literally the thing that I did of what's the next thing I can try today. And it sounds like you've done the same thing in your journey. And now you get to help so many other people. So you have an amazing business now where you're helping people in many different ways. You're a mentor and you're helping with marketing and all of this. But there was something very specific that caught my attention on your website that I just want to dig into because it was so heavy hitting that I was excited to talk to you about it. And you have a line on your website that says something along the lines of being unashamed to have the desire to make money. And I'm curious how this came about and ended up on your website.
Yeah, I think it wasn't on my website when I first started my business. I'll tell you that. I think over time, as I worked with more women, there was this like shame story that I was seeing coming up over and over and over again around selling, around making money, around making too much money. Mm. What does that mean about me if I make money? And I think that I think money in the hands of women is the best thing ever, right? Like, and so for me, I think, you know, it's on there because I want to help women make money. I want to help women do a lot of things. But at the core, you know, allowing women to make money allows them to create really incredible impact in the world. It allows them to build a life that they desire for their families, maybe a completely different life than what they had growing up. And for me, it's there because I think I am unashamed about my desire to make money. And I think that other women should be too. But for whatever reason, there is this shame story and it's very layered. I know we're going to dive into that today for anyone that is having that experience. But I just want to normalize it more than anything, right? It's like, let's normalize money in the hands of women.
I love this. Because I think it is so needed. This message is so needed. And what I really love about it is the boldness. Because what I see is, we both see a lot of marketing messaging in the online space. Like, we see it all the time. And it's almost like we're dancing around it. It's almost like it's like, I know that we want to help people. Let me be very clear before I say what I'm about to say. Like, I know that the people who are listening to this podcast want to impact lives and help people. And so you can put that on your website for sure. However, in order to do that, you have to make money in your business or you just have an expensive hobby. And so by not understanding that and dancing around the idea that we are selling a service or a product, it really throws things off. And so this idea of like being unashamed to want to make money was so bold and to see it was so impactful. And so number one, I hope you know that I hope it gets bigger on your website after today. And two, I think people need to hear it because of that shame story.
Yeah. And you know, thank you for that. I received that fully and maybe I will. Maybe I will find a bolder place for it on the website. But I think, you know, what's interesting is what happens is I love what you said about like in order to make the impact you desire, you have to make the money. And I think there's a couple of things that start to happen, right, in our businesses where we, don't charge what we should be charging for something because we're like just trying to be nice or whatever the story is, or we feel badly about it. There's two things that happen. One is you don't make the money in your business, your business stops being sustainable, and then you cannot continue to make that impact, and then your mission fails, for lack of a better word, right? Or the other piece is you start to actually resent your work. And so you don't receive what you should be receiving for the work that you're doing. Resentment starts to build up, and then the work that you do actually starts to slip. And then your clients start to notice, or your customers notice, and then your business starts to deteriorate anyway, because you're not able to deliver the things the way that maybe you would have wanted to or you used to. And neither of those options, either you becoming resented, building resentment and your business burning out, or just you not having enough money to do the things that you need to do so you stop building your business, are the outcome that any entrepreneur sets out for. And so I think that there needs to be this piece where yes, you want to make impact. Of course, like, of course, I'm the same. Yes, you want to help people, but you have to be compensated for your work. One of my mentors, Chris Harder, says, it's like great money in the hands of good people allows them to do great things or something along those lines. I'm going to mess that up. But it's like the idea of like when good people make a lot of money, they can do really great things. And so I think that for me, the more people, the more women that can be proud in that, like that's powerful. That's the movement, right? Rather than, oh, you know, I'm not going to charge what I know I should charge, but I want to be nice. So I'll give them a discount. No, stop. Stop doing that. Because it stops fueling the mission that you're on altogether.
It really does. And I know we're laughing, you know, but this is a real thing that happens all the time. We're laughing because we've heard it. We're laughing because we've seen it and probably experienced it ourselves. I don't know about you, but I have certainly navigated this. When I first started my business, like you were describing me.
Yes.
And I thought, I want to help people. I want to help people. So I need to lower the price. Because I was doing, and I wasn't confident in what I was offering yet because it was new. And you want to get those first few clients and that sort of thing. And the resentment builds up really quickly, not to the person, but to the process and to the fact of like, I am spending so much time on this and not getting compensated. And it was really clear to me pretty early because I had left a corporate job that I was getting paid to do that work, that same work. So when I first started my business, I went from marketing in the corporate space, similar to you, to helping people with marketing. And that's not what I do anymore, but it's what I started with. And when I did that, I was like, I was getting paid so much more to do that somewhere else. Now I like this flexibility, but something's got to change. Something has to change here. But I found myself so frequently really, I would say, like bending the prices for people that I just simply wanted to help. And there's a level that I think that we all struggle with, at least anyone I've ever worked with has. And it's this idea of like, but I want to make sure it's accessible. It's like this balance of like, I want to make sure it's accessible, but I really want to work with this level of a client. And how have you navigated that and helped your clients navigate that minefield of a money mindset when it comes to pricing?
Yeah, it's a great question. And so for me, I have two little kids. I have a 6-year-old and I have a 3-year-old. And I'm also an introvert. And so my energy is actually really limited. And so I had to take a moment where I had to almost time audit my own energy and to identify where in my life actually requires the most energy. And I require a lot of energy for myself, right? For my self-care and prioritize the things that I need. My children require energy. I don't get to turn that off, right? My kids need me. And so does my business. And so for me, when I started to think about my pricing, I mean, there's a lot of what I do that is not accessible for the average person, for the, you know, a very early stage entrepreneur. I'm expensive, right? And I'm expensive because my time is so limited. Mm-hmm. And so I've had to really align, recognize for myself, like my time is extremely valuable because I actually don't have very much of it. And so in order for me to have a scalable business, I can't charge $100 an hour if I know that I'm only really able to be present and fully on for 4.
Right.
Because I have 4 hours a day that I can be on mentorship calls, and then I have to save, pocket the rest of that energy for my kids. And so it took time, and there are still moments where I wish that I could help like more early stage entrepreneurs. I have so much heart for women, mom entrepreneurs just trying to figure it out, and they don't have the money, they have the idea, they can't invest in anything. And so I have lots of free things that I've created. I do a free bi-weekly community connection call every other Tuesday at 10 a.m. where women can come and get free business help. Mm. I have a whole host of different free trainings and free downloads. And so for me, that is the stuff that somebody could come into every single one of my free trainings, or they could consume all of my content on social media and get themselves to a place where their business is producing enough money that they could make an investment in to one of my coaching programs. And so that's the energy for me that I've built out my business in a way that that feels good. But also knowing that, okay, if I want to make X amount of dollars in my business, but I know deep down that I can really only deliver 4 hours, which I know probably doesn't sound like much to some people, but I'm an introvert. And so being, I can do this, right? This conversation, we can do this, but I will feel tired after. Some people are lit up by being around other people. I get tired. I'm drained as an introvert. So if I'm good for 4 hours, what do I have to charge for those 4 hours in order to be profitable in my business? Because me working 8 hours of coaching calls a day is good for no one. It's not good for me. It's not good for my clients. And so really getting real with myself about what that has to look like and what I can feel excited about and just really getting, you know, we talk about mindset, but like tapping into what is true for me as a service-based business owner, right? Who's serving, truly pouring out myself for others. That is how I come to terms with my pricing and knowing that it's okay that I'm not accessible for everyone because I also have all of these other free offerings and things that are very accessible that if utilized, will get a person where they need to be so that they can make the investment down the road.
I feel like that is the best advice I've ever heard about pricing. And
thank you.
I don't say that lightly. I ask a lot of people about pricing and how they do it, and because it's such a hard thing. And I've never heard someone talk about it the way that you just did of doing, sure, we talk about time and pricing. Everyone seems to do that. But you did it so differently. And basically figuring out if you have 4 hours and you charge $100 an hour and you make $400, like that isn't paying your mortgage. That isn't paying the bills of the business. That's not scalable. That's not sustainable. And so you had to look at it as, if I want to prioritize time for myself, time for my kids, and not just not burning out, also time for my clients, you had to figure out that time and then price accordingly. And I hope that everyone just heard that and let it sink in and comes back to this when they need it, because this is what so many people need to hear. And that you then went down and said, like, I have the heart to serve the person who can't necessarily afford my services, and I do it in this way. You also have a podcast. You have all of these pieces of content that can serve people that, in the magic phrase was, if utilized, they can then afford the things later.
Yeah.
I love it. Thank you for sharing so honestly.
Thank you. Yeah, the if utilized piece is really important, right? Is because I think we all have, and I have some of these too, the graveyard of like low ticket courses or freebies that you download that you don't use, right? And I think the other piece too, just on pricing that matters for me is when we sometimes, you know, I'm a mentor or a consultant and a consultant. So people pay me typically for my time, right? They're buying an hour of my time or they're, you know, investing in monthly mentorship or they're coming into my masterminds, whatever it is. But they're not just buying an hour, right? They're also buying my 20 years of work in this field. They're buying my 10 years of entrepreneurship, every single mistake that I've made, every training, every lesson. It's not just, hey, it's an hour of my time. It's like, no, this is all of my experience, top to bottom, my entire business model, if you would like it, in an hour, right? It's not just that. And so
right.
I think sometimes when we think about pricing, we think, well, you know, I don't know. It's only an hour. No, it's never only an hour. It's always about the broader scope and the broader things that you bring to it. And it does take like a true awareness of that and you taking stock of that. Mm-hmm. It is rarely ever just an hour of your time.
Yes. I mean, that's one of those mic drop moments that we just had here, because you're right. It's not just an hour. It's all of the experience. And that can be said for anyone listening that has a service-based business that is looking at their time like that of, well, it's just this, it's assessed, and I say just because I hear that all the time. It's just an hour. It's just 30 minutes. It's just whatever, but it's not. It's all of your experiences coming together. And whatever that experience is, you're giving to that other person when they ask questions, and you're giving ideas. And oftentimes people, I don't know if you've realized this, like for yourself or seeing it in other clients, but oftentimes you can create something. So maybe it's an hour of your time, but you're creating a plan for them, a social media plan or whatever it is. And you can actually do it really quickly now because you've done it. And I've seen a lot of people really slip into, well, it only takes me 10 minutes now, so I just need to charge for that 10 minutes. And I am like, no, because it's because you're more efficient. It's not because the thing isn't valued the same. Yes. It's because you're more efficient. Have you found that happening?
Yeah, it's that sort of conversation about like, what's the work worth, right? People talk about, people say like, charge your worth. I actually don't like that. I prefer what is the work worth?
Yeah.
And it doesn't, if it takes you 20 minutes, I don't care. I don't care if it's 20 minutes. It would probably take me like to do, you know, a social media audit or to build a social media plan. I could probably do most of that in less than an hour, having done it 1,000 times, right? Am I going to charge my hourly rate for that? No, absolutely not, right? And so it's what's the work worth? I don't care if it doesn't matter if it takes you 20 minutes because you're so efficient and experienced at it. You shouldn't be charging for 20 minutes. You're charging for what that work is actually worth.
Right. I think there's that phrase, and this is one I'm going to not say correctly, but it's like when you bring in the bomb squad to cut a wire and you have to pay for that, and you're really paying for knowing which wire to cut because it only takes about a second to cut the wire, but you pay for them knowing which one.
Right.
And you'll pay whatever it is if you've got that problem. Yeah, so
you definitely be paying whatever it is for that problem.
Right. And so it's the value, it's not the time. It's the value. You want them to be efficient in that way. And I know we're talking about a bomb, and so that seems to be very serious, which it is. But thinking about the pain point that the person is experiencing, that person who wants that social media plan, they're willing to pay for that because it is a pain point for them, that they are struggling and they want you to be efficient with it. Hey there, I promised to get you back into the episode really soon, but I wanted to share a special message with you today. So maybe you're feeling like you've let yourself or others down because your business isn't performing like it has before or you think it should be right now. I want you to know that you, my friend, are not alone. So many of my clients are feeling this way as well, but the clients who are still feeling proud of their businesses have two things in common. They've continued to make progress towards their goal and their business is still profitable. So even if they aren't exactly where they wish they were, they are still proud because of these two things. I'm on a mission to help entrepreneurs build a profitable and productive business. And if you're looking to do this, I would absolutely love to support you. You can find all of the available options on my website at amandamckinney.com/work with me. But if you still aren't sure what option is best for you, or you just want to have a conversation, send me an email or a direct message on Instagram with the word support, and we can have a chat and see what will fit your needs the best. Okay, let's get back into the episode. I want to come back to this unashamed desire to make money, because we just talked about pricing, which has just been so helpful, and I know it's helped so many people. But bringing it back to that idea of being unashamed, because I just have a feeling that, yes, a lot of people want to help people, but there's also this feeling of, should I be making money? Wherever that's coming from, I'm sure there's a lot of different reasons that could come up, but how have you... And maybe it's for yourself or maybe it's for your clients. How do you help someone navigate that and get them through that feeling of like, maybe I shouldn't make money, to like, heck yeah, I want to make money?
Yeah. It's never a black and white process. And a lot of it, from what I have seen, is that there is a story that some of us carry, and usually it's rooted from our parents, how we grew up, people that we're surrounded by. It's an external story that if you make money, you're somehow a bad person, right? Like, you are like a jerk, or like, you're an asshole. I don't know if I can say that on the podcast.
Yes,
but
you can.
You're an asshole if you make a lot of money. And I have a client that I've worked with for 2 years, and she has a full-time job, and she also makes $250,000 every year in her business. It's just a side hustle.
Good for her.
A side hustle business. She, to this day, this is something we've been working on for 2 years, has not told her parents, she's 34 years old and has a child, has not told her parents how much money she makes. Because there's this story for her. Her parents never made that much money. Mm. And she has heard growing up her parents make comments about wealthy people. Mm-hmm. And like, what do they even do? Right? Make negative comments about wealthy people. And so she has this fear that, and when I say this isn't black and white, like we're still not there, right? We're coming up into almost 2 years together. She has this fear that's deeply rooted that if she tells her parents that she makes, you know, $150,000 a year at her career job and $250,000 every year in her side hustle job, they're going to think that she's a bad person. Mm-hmm. That she's the jerk. And so I think for a lot of us, it is this story that like there is something greedy or something negative about wanting to make money. But I really, for me, it's this shift of, first of all, you know, for this particular client, let your parents be proud of you. Mm. Like you don't actually know that that's going to be the response.
Right.
Right. You're actually you're holding on to something that could be an opportunity for them to be really proud of you. You know, we've talked about her. She really wants to take her entire family on a trip. And she wants to pay for everyone to go mm-hmm. on this trip. It's like, what an incredible gift. Like, do it. But even then, it's like, oh, then they're going to know. You know, it's deeply rooted. And I think for a lot of us, it is this, like, it's this greediness. If you make a lot of money, you're a bad person. And for me, I love donating money. I love creating impact. I love investing in other people's businesses. I love, you know, taking my kids to have experiences that I didn't have growing up. All of those things. And none of that would be possible if I didn't make the money that I make. And an important caveat for me to share is that I didn't grow up poor. I grew up, my family had things. I've never been in a situation where I have worried about whether I'm going to have a roof over my head or if I'm going to have anything to eat. We had everything that we needed growing up. And I was around people that were wealthy, and I didn't have that experience of there being like, if you're wealthy, it's a negative thing. But I see it so much in my clients and in my work. And I think for me, it's this shift of, if I don't make money, I can't create the impact. And I don't just mean the impact with my clients, but the impact in the world. So I can't invest in other people's businesses if I don't have the money to do it. I can't make other people's dreams a reality. I can't donate to my favorite charities. I can't, you know, do the bigger, more philanthropic things that I'd like to do if I don't have that. And so it's really just this piece of not having money, like none of it means anything about who I am inherently. It's just, it allows me to create greater impact, a greater ripple effect in this world. And so I can't feel shame about that because I don't just want money so that I can buy a new handbag. I want it so that I can create a life that I've always dreamed about and for other people too.
Mm. So much good stuff in what you just said. And the first thing is, I don't know your client's name, but I am going to be thinking about her so much. And I hope she tells her parents and gives them that gift. I hope she gives her whole family the gift of the trip. And I hope they just love on her. I hope they shock her. I hope it is a surprise to her that everyone is so supportive. And she wished she would have done it sooner. But I know that feeling is real. I've definitely heard it as well. And something I've heard, and I've never actually talked about on the podcast before, but this feels like an appropriate time to bring it up, is I've actually, and you've probably experienced this too since you work with a lot of females, is that I've actually had a lot of my clients really, like, they would declare a revenue goal or something like that, and they would not hit it or surpass it. And what came down to it is that they were worried that their partner would be upset that they were making more than them. Mm-hmm. Have you experienced that?
That one I haven't seen, but I will say it's interesting. So I am the breadwinner in my household as well. Fortunately, my partner is all for it. He's like, yeah, go, please.
Right.
Please go, run. Do it. Keep going. But I think that that's an interesting dynamic. I think, you know, it's not something that I've run into myself. However, when we think about relationship dynamics, power dynamics, right, and like traditional roles, mm-hmm. what roles are women supposed to play, I do think that like everything always comes down to communication and relationships. But if that's mm-hmm. something that's coming up, like address it sooner rather than later. I think bringing your partner in on the dream too, mm-hmm. right? Rather than it being, I'm doing this and he's doing that, right? It's enrolling your partner in the vision, mm-hmm. right? Letting them be a part of it and letting them get excited about it rather than this being this sort of me versus you. Because I think, you know, I've been in business with my husband and having been an entrepreneur for 10 years, we've been together for an entire time actually of entrepreneurship. Whenever I enroll him in and I don't mean like signing him up and bringing him into it, but like literally having the conversation, hey, here's what I'm working on. Here's my targets mm-hmm. and getting him excited about it and giving me the supports that I need to make that happen. Cause I do need that as a mom, right? I can't do everything. Has been really, really gift giving and enrolled him in that support.
I agree. And I love that phrase of enrolling someone in it. And that's always, you know, I'm not a therapist mm-hmm. and never pretend to be, but I always, you know, say like, talk to the person because chances are it's a story that you're making up. Now, there are people who might be really upset about someone making more than them. I don't know. I just typically sure. speaking, most people are going to be excited and proud and ready to be on that journey with you if you have that supportive partner, which most people do. I have to believe this. So I agree that it's like communicating and like you, I have a husband who is super supportive and is like, go, make all the money. I'd love to like do other things. Like, this would be great. And so hearing that is so helpful. Like I wouldn't have known it had I not shared my dreams with him before when I started this business and all of this. So I agree that it's talking and really getting in communication. So we've talked a lot about money, and I know you do many other things in your business, and everyone that's listening is so, I have no doubt they're going to be so encouraged and they'll want to learn more from you. So Laura, where can they find out more about you and working with you and all the good stuff online?
Yeah, so my website is laura-sinclair.com, but the place that I spend most of my time on the internet is Instagram. I'm at It's Laura Sinclair. If you have made it this far in the podcast, we are officially friends, so please send me a DM. Say hello, just connect with me. I love to chat, whether you're a mom, not a mom, in business. I love to meet people. So don't be shy. Feel free to send me a DM, say hello, all of my freebies. I'll make sure that you get the link in the show notes of all the sort of resources that I have that I mentioned. If you're in a season of your business where, you know what, the free stuff you want to use and dive into that, we'll make sure you link that there, but it's all on my website and on my Instagram account. And I also have a podcast. It's called This Mother Means Business. And so if you're an entrepreneurial mother and you want to be part of those conversations, I invite you to chat with me there too.
Oh, I will make sure all of the links are in the show notes. And please, everyone, go listen to her podcast and catch up with you on Instagram. So that is how you and I connected, was through Instagram, through a friend of ours. Shout out to Allison. And I can attest that you will respond back to a DM and you're fast friends. Once you connect, especially like you said, if you've made it this far, you know, we're friends and we can talk more. So I encourage everyone to go chat with you. Thank you so much, Laura, for being here today.
Thanks, Amanda, for having me. This was awesome.
Wasn't that great? I told you, you would be inspired by her, and I'm certain that you were. And what I want you to do after listening to this episode is to be very bold with yourself and declare a number. You don't have to tell anyone else, but I want you to tell yourself this number. What amount of money would feel unbelievably great to make this year in your business? And once you have that number, I want you to write it down, and I would love for you to look at it and say it out loud every single day. I want it to stay so top of mind that you're thinking about this all the time, not just to be thinking about money all of the time, but thinking about what that money can allow you to do. How would it impact other people's lives as well as your own? I really want you to keep it top of mind. And then, of course, you got to do some math. I want you to do some capacity math and use Laura's example of how she looked at her actual energy capacity. It helped her price her offerings. This was so impactful to me. I've never heard someone talk about it in that way, and I really hope it was an eye-opening moment for you as well. And so I want you to do some math. Think about your offerings and think about what they need to be priced at in order for you not to burn out, in order for you not to be resentful, and in order for you to hit that dang number, because that's what you want to do. I want you to price your offerings based on value, not just your time. but I really want you to think about how can I get to this number in a way that feels awesome and not feeling any shame about wanting that number. If any shame comes up, I want you to remind yourself that you're doing this for whatever the why is. What is your why? Why do you want to make that money? Why is this going to help you make the impact? Because remember, money in the hands of good people does amazing things. And I want your hands to be filled with whatever enough is for you. That number that just came to your mind, I want you to have all of that and exceed it. But we have to be really clear on why we want it and how we're going to get there. So it all starts with declaring that number, and I really hope you do that today. And as you go through this, make sure to give yourself permission to have the desire to make more money, but also a lot of grace along the way, because I know there's a lot of feelings that are wrapped up in this as well. So take care of yourself, focus on that number, and I'll talk to you soon. Thank you for listening to this episode. If you found it helpful or inspiring, be sure to share it with someone else who could use it too. Sharing is caring, but it's also a huge boost to your accountability. Sharing this message and then talking about it will ensure that you actually take the action that was mentioned in this episode. Hello, accountability. There's nothing better than the feeling of actually following through, and I want that for you. So screenshot it, share it, and if you share it on Instagram, be sure to tag me at @TheAmandaMcKinney too. Until next time.